And joining us this afternoon on El Paso Primetime, good friend Esther Reyes. She is from La Fe. She's the director of communication, and that should be actually Centro Salud Familiar de La Fe.
Close enough.
Kind of, sort of. Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe.
There you go.
Is how that's
Excellent.
Supposed to be. Good. Yay, welcome. You know, lots of stuff happening over at the shop, if you will.
Yes. We've been very, very busy, and as always, thank you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity, una invitación, to come and join you guys here at KTEP and share our happenings and our news. And definitely want to tell you guys about our upcoming Father's Day 5K run and walk. It's our 20th annual, and invite folks to come out and walk or run in honor of their father.
And that'll be coming up next Saturday, starting at 7:30 in the morning. What time, how early should people get there?
Usually folks start arriving, honestly, at about 5 in the morning. Folks who take running very seriously will see them out running up and down the streets of Segundo Barrio, warming up as early as 5 a.m., sometimes 4:30. We're out there that early because we're setting up the safety cones and getting everything prepared. And late registration begins at 6:30 in the morning, but at 7:30 sharp, the gun goes off and everybody starts tearing down the street.
How cool is that? I mean, it really, that's got to do your heart well to see that sort of a thing.
It's always been a very, one of my favorite events. You know, we do events every single month throughout the entire year, but the Father's Day 5K has always been something very special to me because it's something that a lot of parents and their kids do together. But in the last 3 years after I lost my own dad, it's becoming even extra special.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, again, like you said, you honor your dad, living or past, by doing a Father's Day run like this. And it's a 5K run or walk, so if you're not up to the running sort of a thing, you can do the walk.
The walk is actually pretty easy. I mean, it's flat land. It's about 3.2 miles. And it's very easy, and it's a nice thing to do in the morning. Go for a little stroll at your own pace. Walk down Segundo Barrio's community and streets. Enjoy the beautiful murals in the neighborhood. And by the time you end up back at the La Fe Culture Technology Center, usually takes folks about anywhere from half an hour to 40 minutes to walk the length of the course. And enjoy some treats. Some mm-hmm. fresh fruit. And most folks, usually it's kind of become tradition. Everybody does their walk, does their run, and then everybody goes and gets menudo.
There you go. Why wouldn't you do that sort of a thing? So you've got free T-shirts for the first 200 entries.
We do. And they're beautiful T-shirts. I just saw them. They're colorful with a great logo for this year. They're commemorative. And you're correct. The first 200 folks to register. And you can register online at raceadventuresunlimited.com, or you can visit the La Fe Culture and Technology Center at 721 South Ochoa in the rear building and just walk on in between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday between now and June the 13th and pay $20 for your early registration. Or if you do it on the 14th or the 15th, which is the event day, it'll be $25. And we are strongly encouraging groups of 10 or more. If you're with Fort Bliss, our military community, with a community here at UTEP, or any of our area high school track teams, or families, if you all want to walk or run together, teams of 10 or more get a $5 discount for each individual member of your group.
You've got all kinds of divisions as well, male, female, best overall.
We do. We have seen folks running or walking, little children walking along with mommy and papi, and we have seen folks well into their 90s. In fact, we have a lady, I'm not going to give out her name. You know, I haven't asked her permission yet, but folks who are part of this event will know who I'm talking about. This lady has shown up many years, year after year, running in her taconcitos, her little heels. We're not talking, 5 inches, but her little pumps, because she claims that it helps stretch her leg muscle to the point that it actually gives her a little bit more stamina.
Wow.
And she runs the entire length of that course, and it's very impressive, very inspiring.
There's a long history behind this one. It's the 20th annual, and this has grown in leaps and bounds every year.
It has, and to hear Salvador Balcorta, our CEO, tell the tale, this was actually the brainchild of a group of community activists, most of whom at the time were some of our HIV patients back in the day when Lafayette did not have the Lafayette Care Center, which is today our HIV AIDS treatment and education and prevention facility. We didn't even have SWAC at the time, I don't think, in the community. But we had a growing number of sons, fathers, brothers who were coming home to die or to be among their family to try and feel better. And when they found treatment and support at Lafayette, they wanted to give back. And they wanted to do it in a way around a beloved family holiday. And they chose this one because they said, you know what? We want to be good fathers and brothers and there for our families and our community. And this is a way to show what it means to have someone stand up for you, to have somebody take care of you, support you, sacrifice for you. And that's what a good dad does.
Yeah.
And that's where it all began.
And, you know, the crux of that particular mission for this Father's Day event, this run walk, is also part of the mission of Centros de Salud Familiar La Fe, no?
Definitely, definitely. It's, you know, it's something that we try and incorporate into everything that we do, every cultural event, every program, every arts activity, to always take the opportunity to lead by example and to teach our youth, especially our kids and our teenagers, that it's not just about you. It's about your familia. It's about the familia next door to you. It's about the familia that you get to know next door to you in the next bench at church, walking down the street and then aisle next to you at La Tiendita. It's about the people that your mom and dad work with. It's about your entire sense of community and having a sense of responsibility for each other, for making sure that everybody has not just a decent, clean, dignified, and affordable place to live, but a good school to learn in. Everybody has and deserves a place to fulfill their arts and cultural education needs, a place to thrive, a place to grow. Everybody deserves a community that is clean, that is gang-free, that is drug-free. And the point is for all of us to pull in there together and support each other. And that was a holistic, comprehensive dream of our founders 46 years ago now. Lafayette was founded by a group of mostly single, young, progressive, leftist mothers and quite a few abuelitas, mm-hmm. you know, tough women from the barrio who had decided they'd had enough. They had decided that they wanted something better for their children, better than what they had seen their brothers and their fathers and sons live. They didn't want their son to be the next one laying in the alley with a needle in his arm. They didn't want their daughter to be the next one getting pregnant at 13. They wanted culture. They wanted education. They wanted affordable care. They wanted housing, jobs, all of that. They needed it, and they knew that they deserved it, but they knew that they would be the only ones that could make that dream happen, and they did it. They pulled together, and they established a small fledgling grassroots clinic in the middle of a slum that was so horrific and full of misery that people called it Los Siete Infiernos, the Seven Hells.
Mm-hmm.
Those buildings are now long gone, and in their place is a beautiful community senior center. But people remember. People have pictures. People tell the tales, and people recognize that that's where this organization was born, literally, in hell, and that's where we grew from. But I think wherever those moms are today, I only know of one that is still living. The rest, unfortunately, are no longer with us, and I think they would be proud. I hope that they are. I hope we make them very proud.
I think they're very proud. I think in terms of the progress of the barrio over the years, to me, it's so refreshing to go back and almost feel as though my grandmother's with me. Mijo, look at this and look at that. And it's really a wonderful thing because it's brought the neighborhood back to where it used to be. I hear that a lot from a lot of my relatives.
Well, and a lot of folks who come to the neighborhood either to visit us or we encounter them, the first thing they always notice and they always want to make note of is the true sense of comunidad in the traditional sense that you walk down the street and somebody is going to look at you. And if they've met you before, they're going to say, buenos días, Dennis. Mm-hmm. You know, te van a saludar. They're going to greet you with warmth and with authentic affection. You don't see that too much anymore in today's America. You don't see that. Quite honestly, let's be frank about this. Even here in El Paso sometimes, it's not a matter of losing manners. It's just a matter of that we've forgotten how to be human with each other. And I love that about our little neighborhood, that I guarantee you, you and I take a stroll through the neighborhood at any hour and we run into folks. If they know us, if they know me, they're going to greet me by name with true, authentic affection and familiarity that is expressed with a sincere interest in how am I doing? How have I been? And that they hope that I'm doing well. And if they don't know me, you're still going to get a very sincere and polite buenos dias, señora, or buenos dias, ¿cómo ha estado?
You know, the census, as I recall, at one time back in the 90s, recognized 79901 as the poorest zip code in the country.
That is correct.
And now in 2013, 79901 is no longer in the top 10 of the poorest zip codes.
Actually, technically speaking, we are still very much, in terms of the poorest zip codes in America. And I'll have to double check this, but if I'm not mistaken, the zip codes that come up before us are mostly Native American reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Among urban zip codes, we are still very much in among the highest.
Yeah,
that's a sad reality.
It really is. But I guess my point is that if you really want to get down to it, you know, you look at South Texas, look at Brownsville and McAllen, where the poorest zip codes are. Mm-hmm. They hold the top three. And that's not a slam on them. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
They have no hard industry down there. They have hardly any soft industry. And what they do have in terms of employment and whatnot, it always gets snapped up, but at a low rate.
Yeah. Now this, Segundo Barrio is a community that we were born in, that gave rise to our organization, to our social justice movement. It's no longer where we are completely concentrated. Our organization has thankfully over the last 46 years spread out, not just to the entire El Paso County region. We've got, you know, clinics and facilities that hopefully our listeners are familiar with, all over from one end of the county to the other, but also our Research and Policy Institute out in San Antonio, our team out there working on developing research on the Latino community to correctly reflect the impact and the needs of the Latino community throughout the United States today and in our history and hopefully in our future. And Segundo Barrio, though, is always going to be our corazón. It's always going to be donde nacimos, our birthplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize that we have, I mean, the neighborhood has truly come a long way, but it has a terribly long way to go still. We need to be very honest about that we still have families that struggle every day to put food on the table, whose children are going to schools in South El Paso that are nowhere near the level of funding and resources that schools just a few miles up the road are getting. All you need to do is look at the funding and structure of schools like Hart and AOI and look at them from the outside. And I'm sorry, to us, they look structurally like little prisons. There are no windows, hardly. They are not in any way comparable to schools like, you know, Mesita, just a few miles up the road.
Right.
And that's not social justice. That's not right.
Hopefully things will change, and with your organization at the forefront of change, which is what it's all about, it'll happen in the next, hopefully in the next 5 years, if not more.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the invitation is out for the 20th annual Father's Day Community Health 5K Run and Walk. It's coming up next Saturday.
Alrighty, and hopefully folks will come out and get a good night's sleep the night before. And have a good, healthy breakfast, get their tennies on, and go for a nice walk or a run with us.
There you go. This will be happening at the La Fea Cultural and Technology Center, downtown, 721 South Ochoa. It's the rear building, right?
Yes. The front building is the medical unit of the La Fea Child Adolescent Wellness Center, and the Culture Technology Center is the rear building. And, of course, again, you can register online at raceadventuresunlimited.com until 6 p.m. on the 13th of June. After that, you can stop by the Culture Center, again, 721 South Ochoa, the rear building, It'll be $25, though, on the 14th or the 15th, the event day, June. And again, $5 discount, teams Very of nice. 10 or more.
Nice. Estela Reyes, good friend, always welcome here. Mi casa su casa, you know that.
Gracias.
We've been talking to Estela Reyes, the Director of Communication for Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe, about the upcoming 20th Annual Father's Day Community Health 5K Run Walk. That'll be coming up next Saturday, starting at 7:30 in the morning. That's when the gun fires off. Get there beforehand so that you get a good place in line to hit the streets.
Okay, and for more information, 545-7234.
545-7234. For those of you out of the area, 915-545-7234. Estela, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, joined today by my co-host, Louis Science. Louis, welcome.
Thank you, Dennis.
Today, yeah, we're here to talk to T.C. Bryant about his incredible children's book, but it's a children's book for all ages, one called The Day God Played With Me. T.C. Bryant, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it.
I have to ask you, right off the bat, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I've had this desire in my heart. I knew it was a story that was inspired by God, and it's been in my heart ever since that incident happened. And so finally, you know, we just got the release to just begin to write, and I sat down and began to write, and God began to bring people, and like Eric Lopez, to help illustrate it. And so we knew then that God was involved when we decided that we had the green light to do it.
It's an incredible book that has not only just the prose itself, the story of little T.C., but each page has a character pointer that brings out the best in all children of all ages.
Right. We wanted it to be informative and educational. You know, my wife is in education, and so, you know, that was one of her expertise by adding that, helping me to add that to that book.
And did it help you, T.C., as far as writing the book? Because I would imagine, and because of the little T.C., that this is partially or 100% autobiographical?
Right. It's a true story. This literally happened. I met a bunch of my friends. Happened to be at a store when this store owner had just gotten in a shipment of kites, and we didn't even know anything about kites at the time. And it was our first time really seeing kites, even finding out about them. And so we got together and decided we was going to buy some kites and we was going to go out and fly, but we didn't know where to go out and fly them at. And so an idea come to my mind to go up on the freeway that was in progress of being made, or built. And so we played on the mounds of dirt and stuff like that and the hills that they had set up there, and so that helped my kite to take off, and lo and behold, it just kept soaring higher and higher and higher, and so it got so high to where, you know, I couldn't retrieve it, and it went higher and higher, and I had to keep sending my friends to the store to get more kites, spools of kites, kite strings, and so as they went to the store to get more kite strings, they kept going higher and higher, and I had to send my friends several times to get more kites string. And as it went higher, we just was amazed, and we saw the kite literally just soaring to the clouds. I mean, it went that high. And so I couldn't retrieve it, and I stayed there trying to retrieve it. I even prayed, and, you know, at that time, you know, just a wishful prayer for God to send my kite back, but lo and behold, an idea came to my mind, and that said that God had my kite. And when I realized that, I realized that you know, that was the day that God played with me, and so that's how that term came about.
Well, it did take place in Houston, so it right. There's a possibility that maybe one of the NASA people intercepted it and decided to, hey, this thing's flying pretty good. We may use this.
It's possible. But, you know, it got kind of dark and the sun began to set. And so, you know, it was just an amazing event. It really just just rocked my mind, you know, all those years until, you know, God finally showed me the purpose of the mystery behind what had happened. And so that really just encouraged me to go ahead and write it as well.
One of the things, TC, that, and you and I have discussed this before, the fact that, you know, and the interview that we did beforehand, we were talking about technology and about how today's students have to deal with certain things. Children have always had an enemy to fight, and that's their peers, because peer pressure is very strong, and they make you do something that perhaps you don't want to do, or they'll dare you to do something. And I'm not saying anything bad about Houston. Every city has, you know, different areas where they're either crime-ridden or, you know, temptation for kids. And so I was wondering, when all this happened, and looking back as you writing the book, do you feel like perhaps you were guided through some of this, and the fact that, you know, today's kids have a lot more to deal with than when we were growing up?
Yes. Well, you know, I went through, as I got older, real tough times. I went through a real tough time. And, you know, like you say, peer pressure and so on and so forth. But where I grew up was strictly a ghetto area. And in this particular area that I grew up in, it was, you know, no role model, no real true role model. I mean, we had them, but they was negative. They was, you know, involved in all kinds of criminal activities and so on and so forth. So we patterned our desires after what we saw them doing, you know. And so, you know, we grew up stealing. We grew up robbing. We grew up doing all those kind of things. And so the peer pressure came from the neighborhood in general. I mean, as far as, you know, I was concerned. But we didn't have a good role model in our community. So I'm thankful that God chose me. I'm thankful that God was with me. Even when I didn't know it, he had his hands on me. He had a calling for my life. And so it's all his doing, and it was in his timing. Even as I think about the book, it was in his timing.
And some of those things that you've talked about and that you did and kids did before you and before them and kids are doing now because of peer pressure, sometimes even though they know it's wrong, they feel that guilty conscience. And there's a Native American saying that says, you know, we each have a good dog and a bad dog living inside us. And that, you know, when they asked the grandfather, well, which dog is stronger? He said, whichever one you feed the most. Right. And sometimes those things were stealing cars, breaking things, whatever. It was almost seen as a badge of honor.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that, because when we was doing those things, we would literally laugh and joke about moving like God. I mean, you know, we thought when we were ripping people off and taking people's stuff, we was moving like God. That's how ignorant we were. But behind the scene, you know, literally God took that, those confessions and those words, and brought me to a place where now I'm really living and moving and having my beings in him. And I think, you know, it was such an amazing coincidence that would happen the way it happened, because we used to joke about it. Every time we would rip somebody off, we would say we moved like God. And now God got me doing things literally for him in a positive and effective way.
T.C., in your book, The Day God Played With Me, there's a portion in here that strikes me as very real. And I have a question for you after I read this part. Since the streets were too dangerous and the empty lots were too weedy for flying their new kites, they discovered that they could use the new freeway while it was still under construction. The site had earth movers, hanging generators, and long-neck cranes. On weekends, it became their imaginary park for climbing dirt hills, playing games, and flying kites. Do you think our kids nowadays have lost their childhood and the creativity of playing in a dirt lot with little toys and little tanks and trucks and stuff like that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you, but, you know, that's tough, you know. I mean, in our day and time when we was growing up, we had to, you know, we had to use our imagination. We had to make do with what we had, you know. But nowadays, you know, things, you know, easy, they got easy access to parks and skate rinks and all kinds of things. But, you know, we didn't have those things when we was growing up, especially in the ghetto.
Let's go back and talk about your book signing. You have two of them, actually. One's coming up on June 15th.
June, yes.
From 2 to 4, Barnes & Noble.
2 to 4.
And then the next week, you'll be at Golden Corral, the Lee Trevino location.
Exactly, which is the 23rd.
The 22nd and the 23rd? And from what time to what time?
We'll be there all day.
All day. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. And if people want to pick up The Day God Played With Me, where do they?
Well, they can hit us up on our website, TC Bryant, 54yahoo.com. They can also go to the Glory Makers account. It's www.glorymakers.com. They can go there and call us, of course, at 588-1149, area code 915. You know, just I just say go to our website. They can go to Barnes & Noble's. It's at all the e-books and things, Nook and all of those carry. So it's everywhere. You can Amazon, they all carry it.
Oh, so it's available also on Kindle and
yes,
and that's awesome.
Exactly.
Well, T.C. Bryant, it's been a pleasure and an honor to speak with you about your new book, The Day God Played With Me. It's an incredible children's book, the true story of a little boy, his kind of encounter with God. And if you need further information, they can hit you up on tcbryant54@yahoo.com.
Right.
Okay. Very nice. And your book signing is on June 15th from 2 to 4 at Barnes & Noble and all day at the Golden Corral on Lee Trevino, June 22nd and 23rd. So that's that weekend.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on El Paso Primetime. Louis, thank you so much for being a part of this show as well.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me, and we just believe that God would bless it. So thank you again.
Thanks for listening to El Paso Primetime. We had help this week in post-production from our good friends in Winnipeg, Canada at Transcam Sound. And we also want to thank the folks over in Edmonton at Transcan Sound Edmonton also for lending a hand to some of the production on this show. Join us again next Saturday at 1 for another edition of El Paso Primetime.